It's my pleasure this morning to have Leanne come up and share the word with us. And so we're just glad to be able to have her talk to us about joy. I think Leanne's probably one of the most joyful people I know. And it's not because life is hunky-dory all the time. So I'm excited to see what she has to tell us.
Good morning. Joy is one of those topics that when you find out that you're getting to speak or preach on joy, it's kind of like getting to speak or preach on patience. You just kind of brace yourself. Because sometimes when you're battling for something and hearing from the Lord on something that's so good, you know you're going to have to trudge through some stuff that's not so good to make sure you know what you're talking about. And this week has been one of those kind of weeks for me. So the sermon title switched from joy to finding and fighting for joy. Because sometimes our joy comes really easily, and sometimes it doesn't. But that's what makes it so much more special. So we're going to be talking through joy today from the book of Isaiah. We've been studying through Awakening to Advent through the book of Isaiah. And so my first question is just real simple. What is joy? Thing is not working. It's on.
There it is. I did that, though.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have no battery power, actually. Oh. Okay. I'll just give you a minute.
All right.
So what is joy? For me, like Drew said, I am a very joyful person. I enjoy life. I get a kick out of really small things. I love watching a kid laugh. Doesn't matter what they're laughing about. If you see a kid laugh, it just bubbles up in me too, and I just want to start laughing with them. I love watching sappy videos. Military homecomings.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. Watch a military homecoming video. I'm in tears with a big smile on my face. It just makes me so excited because you feel the joy of that moment, of something that goes deeper than just the everyday, something that bubbles up and you can't even contain it. But our culture has some other things about joy. In fact, joy and happiness are one of the biggest things that our culture searches for. Everything from the basics of don't worry, be happy. If it feels good, do it. Pursue your joy. Pursue your happiness. But really, it's all about the here and now and the stuff. There's an article that I found this week in New York Times from a while ago, and it's called How to Be Happy. And they did a whole study. They did psychological research. They did demographic studies on which countries in the world were the happiest. They were researching the connections between it, trying to find the science behind how do we become happy. And this was their summary takeaway. Find a sustaining and satisfying job. Do your best to live in a happy place. Surround yourself with social support. Take care of your health. And be generous in spirit, time, and money in order to pave your own personal road to happiness. This is the takeaway. I have to say, I read this takeaway and I go, oh, there's some truth in that. When we have meaningful and significant work in our lives, it's a little easier to go to work every day to be happy. When we live in a happy place, I mean, sometimes we can control that, sometimes we can't. When we're surrounded by social support and community, it's easier to be joyful, right? If you're around happy people, it's easier to be happy. Taking care of your health, yeah, that's a good thing. Generosity, I love the fact that that was in there. But then in order to pave your own personal road to happiness. If your joy is found in any one of those things, what happens to it when it all goes wrong? If your joy is in your job, what happens the day that you find out that your company's having cutbacks and you're the one who's going? If your joy is in your marriage and you're in a season where you and your spouse don't agree about anything. If your joy is in your family and in your kids, and then they turn their backs and they're running away from everything you've taught them. If your joy is in the ability to do physical things and to go on adventures and to maintain this active, healthy lifestyle, and then your body falls apart, then what? How do we find joy when life doesn't make sense? When we can't just pursue our own path to happiness? Isaiah 12 is this great passage. It's two psalms in Isaiah 12. The first one says, in that day you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger was turned away and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. And after you've sung that song with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Wells are deep, deep places of resources that you need for life. And with joy, you're going to draw water, everything you need, because of the wells of your salvation. So what's that day? In that day, you will do this. They're not saying that today I'm doing that. They're saying on that day I will. There's a longing and a hope to this song in this community. On that day, I will rejoice in my salvation. So what day are they talking about? Well, you have to go back a chapter. Sorry, go backwards to Isaiah 11. Why do they have joy? Isaiah 11 is one of the messianic promises in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is writing to a people that is experiencing loss, heartache, apathy, spiritual indifference, and a lot of years of suffering under the judgment of things that they've done poorly. They're not in a happy place. But Isaiah 11 brings about a promise that a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his ear, with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness, he will judge the needy, and with justice, he will give the decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lip, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash upon his waist. The shoot will come from the stump of Jesse. How do you get a stump? You gotta cut down a tree. When you cut down a tree, do you just celebrate the life of that tree? That's kind of dead. You killed it. You took the stump out of the ground. There's nothing left of this. And this promise of Isaiah says, beyond when we cannot see this promise anymore, when Jesse's line is gone, which was King David, when there's nothing left visible in this promise of David's reign on the throne forever, because we're going into exile, our people are being kicked out, when there's nothing left to lead us to hope for that promise, there's a new shoot that's coming up. And there's a new branch that's coming up, and it's going to bear fruit. It's a reminder of the promise that Jesus was coming. And when Jesus comes, he becomes our source of joy. And our joy is first found in his righteousness. This first section of this all talks about the righteousness of the Savior who's coming. That he is going to judge the needy. He is going to give decisions that benefit the poor on earth. He is going to make things right. The justice of God is coming. This is part of the promise and the hope of Jesus. But we don't always see that side of it yet, do we? We have poor people among us. We have hungry among us. We have divisions among us. We live in the tension of the already, the now, and the not yet, of this promise. See, the song that was being sung in Isaiah 12 was saying, on that day we're going to rejoice in his salvation. And we know that his salvation has come, so we get to start rejoicing in it. But we also know he's coming again. That's when the real rejoicing starts. Because in that day, his righteousness will reign. I've been reading stories again about some of the refugee crisis across our world, and particularly the Syrian refugees. I've got several connections with people that are working among this people group, so these stories keep coming up to me. And there's a story of a woman that was a refugee that came to know the Lord. And she told her story, and she said that her family were very, very conservative Muslims. And by her coming to Jesus, she knows that the moment they find out, they will take her kids away. Because she's leading them astray from their religion. She knows that it's very likely that family members will actually hunt her down and kill her and take her very life. But she says that the Lord has changed everything because he has given her joy to see the good in this life because she knows that her eternity is secure and that the righteousness of God wins in the end. The now, the not yet. That tension. Our source of joy is found first in his righteousness. Go back to our passage. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near a cobra's den, the young child will put its hand in a viper's nest, and they will neither harm nor destroy all on my holy mountain, for all the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Even creation that is at odds with each other and are enemies of one another come to a place of being restored. An infant in this passage is talking about somebody innocent who doesn't know better. And the young child is the one who thinks they do and runs towards danger. And in neither case, harm will fall on them on that day. Because our source of joy is found in his restoration. At the second coming, all is redeemed and made new. A new heaven, a new earth, a new Eden, a new paradise, where everything works together the way he designed it to, and everyone and everything is at peace with one another. But in the now, we see it made new in us. That every day we get to experience the renewing of our mind. Every day the Holy Spirit works in us more to make us more like Jesus and to refine us and redeem us and to take our broken places and restore them and make them whole. That's a source of joy. Finally, verse 10. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. Our joy is found in his glory as it is revealed to the nations. Part of the thing that gives us joy beyond just our circumstances of life is the knowledge of the fact that the Lord is glorious and that he is reigning and he will be showing glory to every single person on earth. Everyone will see his glory and all will bow down. And we get to be part of that now. One of the things that brings me the greatest joy is getting to share with people about Jesus and what he's done in my life and what he wants to do in theirs. Seeing someone come to faith is one of those bubbly moments of joy that I can't help smile about for a very long time. In fact, every time I think about it, it comes back up. We get to experience his joy when we get to take part in revealing his glory to the world. Because when he is made glorious, other things don't matter as much. and we get to celebrate in his joy. Our joy is found in his righteousness. It's found in his restoration. It's found in his glory revealed to the nations. We talked a little bit about what it is. Sorry, skip the slide. The second part of Isaiah 12, the second psalm that's in that section, is a corporate psalm. That after we've experienced that day of knowing that the Savior is coming, we give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known in all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. When we start to experience the source of joy in our personal life, it bubbles out into our community life. And we gather together with our community and we say, together we're going to sing. Together we're going to declare. Together we're going to celebrate. Together we're going to proclaim the gloriousness of the Lord. Because joy is not happiness. Joy is not happiness. Happiness is a temporary emotion to positive events. I found $20. I'm happy. Got an A on my test. I'm happy. My boss gave me a compliment instead of telling me I needed to work harder. Happy. The whole family liked what was for dinner. Happy. But joy is beyond that. Joy is a delightful response to the actions of God on our behalf. It was in our Advent reading today. Throughout the Old Testament, everywhere the word joy is mentioned is in response to what God is doing on behalf of his people. God's delivered them. God's rescued them. God is making himself glorious, and we delight in it. It's also the fruit of the Spirit that's promised, that he produces joy in us. So if you don't feel joyful, ask him to bring you joy. The Holy Spirit produces that fruit in us. Joy is not conditional to our circumstances. Joy moves beyond the temporary moments and looks at something deeper. Henry Nguyen, I love him, great writer, says, joy is what makes life worth living, but for many, joy seems hard to find. They complain that their lives are sorrowful and depressing. What then brings the joy we so much desire? Are some people just lucky while others just simply run out of luck? Strange as it may sound, we can choose joy. Two people can be part of the same event, but one may choose to live it quite differently than the other. One may choose to trust that what has happened, as painful as it may be, holds a promise. The other may choose despair and be destroyed by it. Joy is not conditional to our circumstances. We have a choice in the matter. We can decide if this bad thing that has happened in our life, if this struggle that we can't make it through, is going to determine our attitudes and determine our praise and our worship towards God, or if it's just going to be a circumstance of life and we're going to push through the pain and we're going to find the joy anyways. And sometimes the Lord calls us to find and fight for our joy. And to say, in the midst of this hard time, I'm going to look for God. I'm going to find where Jesus is showing his righteousness. I'm going to find where Jesus is restoring things to make things right. I'm going to find where Jesus is making himself glorious, even in my pain and my suffering. And if I don't see it yet, I'm going to hold on to the promise that it might not be now, but it is then. Joy is not conditional to our circumstances. We have to fight for it. We have to hold on to it. We have to declare we're going to be joyful anyways. The New Testament is full of verses on joy. 1 Peter 1 says we're to rejoice in our suffering. Just lays it right on the table. You're going to suffer. in suffering. Because in our suffering, God is at work. And God is making himself glorious. 2 Corinthians 8:2 talks about the joy that overflows and leads to generosity even in suffering and extreme poverty. Not only does it overflow that we're joyful, we don't have anything and we're giving it all away anyhow. Psalm 16 talks about joy being found in the refuge of his presence. You don't need refuge if you're not hiding. But when things are bad and you're hunting for refuge, you'll find joy there because his presence is there. It's not conditional to our circumstances. We have to choose it. We have to fight for it. But there's the other side. Joy is not negating or denying our circumstances either. See, sometimes in the Christian life, we hear that I've got to fight for joy. I've got to pursue joy. I've got to go after joy. And I have to be joyful. How's your week been? Great. I'm so joyful. To the point of denying honesty. And denying the struggle. And denying the fact that we need support from our community when we're going through hard times. See, joy is not a mask that we're supposed to put on. It's not fake. It's not that I'm going to fight so hard for this that I'm always going to declare joy and I'm never going to let anybody know that I'm struggling. The Bible says that our joy is consolation in times of anxiety. The Bible's full of references that say, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. But it says, when you're fearful, here's joy. It doesn't say deny that you're fearful, deny that you have anxiety. It says find joy in it. It'll be your joy even when you're anxious. It's provision for those that grieve. Holidays are hard. We all have had hard things happen. We've lost people we love. And it's hard when a season is so wrapped up in only experiencing joy to the point where we feel like we have to fake happy and deny the fact that we're still grieving the loss of our loved ones. That's not joy. Joy says, I can celebrate and I can grieve and I can hold the two together in the tension that brings God glory. The comfort that we receive allows us to walk with others in discomfort. 2 Corinthians 1 talks about this, that because of our own suffering and because of the tough things that we've been through and the way that we've seen God come through to us, we can provide comfort to others, not by giving them the fake joyful mask. If all our community ever sees is our fake joyful mask, are they going to feel safe coming to you and saying, I'm having a hard time, pray with me? They're going to put on their fake joy mask. But instead, if we carry the real joy mask that says, you know what? I'm having a hard time this week, but I've seen the hand of God in it, and I'm hanging on to hope. And that's going to bring me joy. And we bring our community into the truth of our stories. It releases joy to them. It brings comfort to them. It allows an authentic community to walk together, to find and fight for joy. Not fake, create joy. The source of our joy alone is Jesus. It is in nothing else. You can live in the happiest place on earth. You can move to Disney World. It's still not going to guarantee you joy. The Christmas story declares, the angel comes and the angel declares, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. The good news, the joy for the world is found alone in Jesus. John 15. Jesus refers back to this branches analogy a little differently. He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. As you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear fruit. says, remain in my love. Stay connected to me as your source. Don't remove yourself from me. And he ends this exhortation to his people to stay connected to him as their source for everything. And he says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. He didn't mask suffering. He didn't run away from the suffering. He embraced the suffering for the joy that was set before him. He chose you. His joy was you, walking in the fullness of his promise, in the now and the not yet, that he will redeem, and he will restore, and he will bring his righteous rule, and he will be made glorious, and you will stand with him on that day. Connect yourself to the source of joy, and his joy will be made complete in you, despite the circumstances, in the midst of the circumstances, in the realities of the suffering, in the realities of the hard time, his joy remains in you if you stay connected to him as your source. So this Christmas season, this Advent, as we're preparing, getting closer to the day, as we're looking forward to the smiling, joyful faces of all of the kids in our lives opening presents, of singing great Christmas carols, of gathering around fireplaces with family and friends, as we walk in the tension of pain and loss, mixed with the celebration of truth. Jesus has come, and Jesus is coming, and he brings joy beyond. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Don't lose hope. When you stay connected to the source, you will always find the joy and be able to fight together with him to make it come. Let's pray. Jesus, I am so thankful that you set your joy. You endured the cross because of the joy of us. You came and you're coming again. And because of your righteousness, because of your redemption, because of your glory, God, you can birth new joy in us. You have promised it. You've promised it through your word. You've promised it as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So for those of us that are struggling and feeling disconnected to joy, would you reconnect us to you as our source of our joy? Holy Spirit, would you create new fruit in us and grow joy of what this looks like? To live authentically, to live in the tensions, but to live joyfully and with hope. Because you came and you're coming again. In Jesus' name.